Good morning to all of you, and if you give me a minute to look up here. As I thought about our messages this morning, and with the change of our schedule, I wrestled through how to condense or what to condense and what to look at. And so this morning, I do spend a lot of my time teaching. And so maybe this morning will be a little bit more teaching than preaching. But one time Jay Fox had revival meetings at our church, and he got up Sunday morning. He said, "All right, I'm going to teach this morning." And in all reality, I couldn't tell any difference between the preaching that happened the rest of the week and his teaching. So maybe that's what you'll say as well. I hope you had a good evening and a restful night. I'll tell you a little story here yet before we get started. If Marion promises not to laugh. So, Marion, you are going to be on a hard thing to do. But I hope your night went well. I went to bed last night, was sleeping about an hour. I normally sleep on my back or my side. I was on my side. I think I was sleeping about an hour, and the strangest thing happened. I fell out of bed. And the thing I remember Suzette saying was, "You fell out of bed." And I thought, you know, duh, of course, it's obvious. And anyhow, she says that I had mumbled some things before that, like what's going on and what's happening. And anyhow, she kind of said, "Are you hurt?" And I didn't really answer. And I typically can do this, end up on the couch during the night most evenings. And so I just made my trek out to the living room. But what she didn't know, of course, she was having her back pain, like I told you last night. And she didn't know is my knee hurt really pretty bad. Until this morning, it is just swollen. And I don't know. I don't think anything's broken, but anyhow, day or two, hopefully we'll take care of it. But I did bring a stool along, and I'm going to go through this message, but if the bishop is not opposed that I could sit, I may bring that in for the second sermon. All right. Well, it's good to see each of you. Good to see you, Lester and Marion, and the rest of you. Didn't see Lester and Marion for a while, so they get special recognition. All right, turn to Romans chapter 1. We are going to consider a message I've entitled "The Ministry of Imparting." And I'd just like to think through a thought this morning. Let me just begin by asking you this question. Spiritually, what do you feel, or what do you take as your responsibility for your brother and sister in Christ? So particularly to you as men, what responsibility do you sense to your brothers in Christ? And to you as women, what responsibilities do you sense as well? As Rick Rhodes said one time, you know, everyone is passionate about something, and it doesn't take long for you to be around a person until you know what they're passionate about. And so, you know, you may be passionate about sports or food or girlfriends or cards or jobs or computers or football or teaching or music or whatever it may be, but it probably wouldn't take us real long to be around each other and we would figure that out. Well, the question I ask us when we think about what we are passionate about is, are the things we're passionate about going to make a difference in eternity? Is there a spiritual significance, eternal significance to what we're passionate about? And one of the things that is passionate on my heart, and you know, sometime in life I just stopped and evaluated and said to myself, so what are the things I'm passionate about? And as you've been with us this week, you obviously have shared an element about the 1040 window, the unreached world, heart beats for that part of missions. But I'm also very passionate about this other thing, and that is young men, reaching out to young men in their spiritual life. And so through life, God has given me opportunity, whether it started at Terry Hill High School, been involved with IGO, taught 2 terms at SMBI. I've had opportunity to sit and relate to a number of young men, and just to hear their stories. And as I've sat and listened to stories, I've concluded that men long for someone to talk to. Men long for individuals just to share with and open up to and wrestle through with what's going on in their life, whether they're struggling spiritually or there's an area in their heart they're wrestling through. And just this last month at SMBI, I was just really blessed. It's a guy, him and I connected near the beginning of the term, and I think he came up to my office almost every day. And I actually encouraged him to do that. And we just ended up just forming a 6 weeks' time, a close relationship. But as individuals journey together, I'm convinced on that journey that we need each other. And I'm convinced, whether you're a man, that you need other men in your life, or I believe if you are a woman, you need other women in your life speaking into your heart. So there's a verse in Proverbs that says it like this: iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. And I would just like to encourage you this morning, in this short time that we're sharing together, that you would begin to sense a spiritual responsibility for your brother. And as I said, this is probably the one of the areas that I'm passionate about. And just to maybe give you a hint of how passionate I am, just this last fall here while we were in Thailand, last summer, I said to a mother, I said, how's your son doing spiritually? And her response was, well, a number of things, but she just said, do whatever you can for him to encourage him. And so I thought about that, and he actually being a young man from our church, and I thought about, you know, what would it be like just to go up to maybe 4 or 6 guys and say, hey, would you like to spend several months just working through some material, processing your life story? And I was thinking about what that would be like. And then on top of that came the thought, well, what material would I use? What material's out there? And I'm certain there's probably material out there, but I did something that I never did before. I started to write my own material. And as I was writing this material, and basically it's several lessons of working through your life story, and then 6 other lessons for men to discuss on word slipped my mind. Talk about writing a book, you can't even remember. But on purity, but that's not what my first chapter is. Our identity. And so as I work with young people and as I relate to them, just to think through topics that are real to them. So it's their identity, it's purity, it's the areas of forgiveness or purpose in life. And anyhow, that I had 2 young men at IGO that I connected pretty close to, and we got close to. And as I listened to their stories, I really encouraged them. I said, go home to your youth group, go home and attempt to mentor young guys, attempt to sharpen their countenance, sharpen their, by sharpening who they are spiritually. And in our discussions of that, they kind of asked the question, well, what material would we use? And so I ended up saying, well, you know what, I'm working on this. And so out of that, the Lord, I guess, gave me a passion to put some words on paper, and they are currently with Dr. Burkholder right now being edited for grammar, and Lord willing, I do hope to get it printed. And it's not that I'm here promoting some great book. I'm promoting the idea of brothers relating to brothers and sisters relating to sisters in building each other up spiritually. I'm convinced that unless we get to a closer discipleship level with each other, the church is going to continue. I shouldn't say struggle. I'm not sure what my word is. But I'm convinced we can write a lot of things in a covenant as to what we believe. But until we make them real in our lives, to brothers and sisters to sisters, that we embrace truth and we learn to know each other on a heart level, true brotherhood is not going to really happen. And so we can come to church Sunday morning and we can look good and we can, you know, talk about surface things. But what happens when we learn to know each other in a little bit deeper relationship or relating way? And brother and sister can know within their heart, this brother has my back. This brother is there for me. This brother or sister is going to support me. And so it's out of the verses in Romans chapter 1 that I would just like to pull a few thoughts this morning. That a number of months ago, as I was reading this, and of course, I think when you're passionate about a subject, you can tend to probably see those thoughts in Scripture. And so you can tell me whether I've read a little bit into this or not. But I found it interesting, as Paul was writing to the church at Romans, and started at verse 7. So we're in chapter 1, verse 7. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, first, and he says, I thank. And I think that's one of the things that we start with. When we are working with people, when we are relating to people, there should be a thankfulness. We ought to thank the Lord for their lives. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And so prayer also is an important part of as we relate to one another and as we interact with each other. And you know, whether this is right or wrong or other people should do it, but the Lord has kind of just laid on my heart, and they've changed from time to time, but about 12 men. And every day I attempt to pray for them. I attempt to pray for their spiritual walk. There's something in the connection that I have with them that I just long to see them grow deeper with God. And so prayer is an important part of that. But he says, making request, if by any means thou at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And then verses 11 and 12. And did I even say this up front, that I had titled this The Ministry of Imparting? But this is where I got this. Verse 11 says, for I long to see you. So Paul was longing to see those at Rome. He says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Notice verse 11 particularly is the verse I'm pulling the thought from, and I want us to notice three words from that verse. They would be the word long, the word impart, and the word established. And so Paul is saying, I long to see you. There was a heart desire. And we, as I already mentioned, we all can be passionate about certain things. And here I believe Paul is expressing, in a sense, a passion that he had for the Romans. He longed to see them. There's something happens when we sit down face to face and we can talk face to face with brothers and sisters. It's not through writing. It's not through some text. It's not through other type of communication. It's when I look you in the eye and you can look me in the eye and we share our hearts one to another. Paul says, I long to see you. And then we have this word impart. And as I said, I had titled this The Ministry of Imparting. And we'll look here a little bit what imparting means, and that you might be established. So let's just look at those three words. The word impart is a transfer of ownership. And so you and I both have something, a relationship with Christ that's going on in our heart. And I believe there should be a burden within each one of us that we care about our spiritual brothers within the church, and particularly within the local church. There's something about the local church that we should have a keen interest in my fellow brothers and sisters. And so when Paul says, I long to impart, the word impart means to share, or to impart, bestow. It does not mean that I have something and then I fully give it to you. It means there's something going on in my heart of encouragement or edification, and I still have it in my heart, but I also share it with you. So now I have it, and also you have it. So Paul is longing to impart. It's the idea of sharing or giving. He says, I long to impart some spiritual gift. And we often think about spiritual gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that is true. But here in this sense, it's the idea of the Spirit-empowered service to the church to carry out His plan for His people. And so, not that spiritual gifts come from one another, but there's a spiritual edification that happens. As you and I speak life into one another, as we speak truth into one another, Paul says, I long to impart, I long to give a spiritual gift to you that you might be established, and you might be staked up, propped up. And all of us at times need a staking up, a propping up, brothers and sisters coming around us and supporting us. And so think about those three words being what we want to keep in mind as imparting spiritual gift and established. Now I want to ask the question, how do we impart? And you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, that sounds good. I know people that like to impart things or give things or just are better at doing that, or maybe our spiritual gift lends itself to that. And we can walk away sometimes and think, you know, I just don't have anything to impart. That's not me. And if that's where you're at this morning, I would like to suggest that that actually is a lie from the enemy. Because I believe all of you in the gifts God gave you, if you're faithfully walking with the Lord, you have something to give. You have something to impart. You have a building up in the lives of another. And so, again, there's dynamics are different in each congregation, but as your church and your children grow, and there's a lot of young children here, I encourage you as men to take seriously, how can we speak into the lives of our young men? Because being a young man these days can be challenging. And there's temptations, and they're real, and the enemy is out there. And so what are ways that we can speak into the lives of each other? And so I'm going to give you three C's, and I'm calling these the three C's of imparting. And as we think about relating to each other, whatever title you want to call this, whether it's discipleship or it's mentoring or whatever term you feel comfortable with, I don't think it needs to have a certain term, but it's where brothers and sisters speak into the lives of each other. And someone has once said, all of us, no matter where we're at in life, should always have a mentor or an older person speaking into our lives. And so as we are where we're at on our spiritual walk, we should always have someone older than us that we can look to, that can encourage us or help process life. I don't know when you get to be so old, what happens when there's no one much older than you, what you're supposed to then. But I'm thankful that I still have brothers older than I am, and that they speak into my life, and that they encourage me. And then they also said that you also should have someone younger than you, or someone that you can mentor. And as I was sharing with the one guy at IGO, he was sharing about some of the things where he was at on his journey and where he felt that he had gained ground. He was like, well, I'm just not sure I'm mature enough or ready enough to speak into other guys' lives. And as he told me my story, I looked at him and said, you may have areas you need to grow in. We all do. But you're at a place, I believe, where you are ready to find some guys younger than you. I said, don't cut out the people you need and the people that you need speaking into your life to help you be accountable or just to continue to grow. But you're at the place where you can speak into people's lives. And there was a sense of life or vision almost came, into him. And he just realized the sense, you know what, I can go home and I can do this with guys in my church. And then I think it was that same evening he came back to me and said, I've been thinking about this all day. And said, I actually have names that are coming to my mind of young men that I can talk to. And that's the process I'm encouraging. And not that they need to be younger, but that we could go to each other and share with each other what God's doing in our life. And so our three C's I'm going to give you. The first one is a challenge. And I made a little bit of change to these this morning. But we should be able to challenge one another spiritually. And I think as we do this, whether they are younger than us or they are our peers or however it may be, for us to be able to have to envision what God might long to do through their lives. And I just clearly remember this happening in my days at Terry Hill, and I will say the name just for Marion's sake because she was teaching during that time, I think. But we had a student named Dave Kilmer, and Dave loved to talk in study hall. In fact, he loved to talk anywhere. But study hall was kind of a hard time because you were supposed to be quiet, and I thought being a study hall supervisor was one of the, not one of the worst jobs, but, I loved to teach when students could talk, but when you had to try and make them be quiet when they didn't feel like being quiet, and Dave didn't really like school, and he loved to talk, and he loved to walk around the library and find out who he could talk to. But him and I really, I had a good relationship with him, and one day I said to him, Dave, I said, you have a gift. And right now, the strength that you have, you need to put it to work and strengthen it and study and make the best of this time here in school. But I said, I could really see you one day being a salesman. I mean, you just have the ability to relate to people, and the people in school loved him. Well, where he is at today, he is actually in a sales position. And that's not obviously because I suggested it to him. But it's interesting when we can look at someone and encourage them with the gifts that we see in their life and say, use this for the kingdom. Use this, or this is the way I see that you could use it. Another part would be to comfort. And so I put the word emotionally on there. I believe we need to have a vision, encourage them spiritually where they may go in life, to comfort emotionally. And I put that this way because there's times when maybe we just need to listen. People long to share their heart with one another. And sometimes it can be overdone. And there can be two types of people. There can be energy takers and energy givers. And you know what it's like with an energy taker, that someone comes up to you and just goes on and goes on about how life is terrible and all the things, and they walk away from you and you feel like you've been drained. They've pulled something out of you. And then there's also people that come to you and they are energy givers. They're speaking life into you. And that's our goal, what we want to be. We want to be an energy giver to encourage someone emotionally. And I remember one day, this again was with an IGO student. We were out, took him out to eat, and it's not that I necessarily had a lot close relating to him, but I saw something in his life, and he had parts of a difficult story. And I remember sitting to him, and as we were sharing, I said these words to him. I said, I want you to know that I believe in you. And he had grown up in a home where he had felt he just couldn't do anything right, felt criticized. In fact, we had a sibling that's dealing with the same thing. But I won't forget, when I said those words, I believe in you, there was something almost lit up in his eyes. And the fact that someone would actually see worth in another person can be very encouraging. And then the last C is correction. And when I saw I had spiritually, emotionally, I thought, well, I better make the last one physically. But the Bible talks about the sins of the flesh. And there's times when you and I know, or you know, that we need to deal in a way of correction, where we need to help those that we are relating to and reaching out to and mentoring to say, hey, which way are you going? How are you going? Maybe it's physical, fleshly sins they're dealing with, or maybe it's mentally, maybe it's lies they're believing about life, maybe it's their thinking, but a correction needs to happen. And then we come to verse 12, which is kind of, well, it's after verse 11, imagine that. But we come to verse 12, that says, as Paul has said this, that he longs to see, he longs to encourage, he longs to build up. He says that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I just see something really beautiful in that. The reality is, you need people. It doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual life. And one of the statements I love to make, I can always learn. You know, I love to, and instead I enjoy relating to young guys and hearing their stories and helping them process life. But you know what? It's not just a one-way street, or I hope it's not. I have learned so much from them and been so encouraged by them and been refreshed by them and have seen the blessing of young guys get, you know, passionate about serving the Lord and working through areas in life. And so whether it's to brothers and sisters your own age or older than you, I just encourage you, learn to relate on a level in congregational life where you know each other from the heart, where you know each other what's going on, and where you can trust each other, and together we're going to heaven together as a brothers and sisters that are here to support and encourage each other. So I think I will stop with that and pull out the paper that says Sermon 2 on it. And yeah, stop there.